We left off about from Mem Aleph, towards the bottom of the thin lines, four lines up from the bottom of the thin lines. We'll pick it up from the first one on Yehuda. How discarded the Avdim? There was a group of Avadim Kiranim, his Davin of Kichob. The master sold them to a non-Jew. That's a red flag. The Mishnah actually says that if a person goes ahead and violates that Isser, of selling an eved to a non-Jew, it's a terrible thing to sell to a non-Jew, because if you do sell, then this eved is basically chayv in many mitzvahs. You have to keep Shabbos, keep kashrus. How in the world is he going to observe mitzvahs when he's with a non-Jew? So Chazal made a penalty that we have to actually try to get him out of slavery, and we have to free him now. And we're going to force the master to basically lose all his rights and all the money that he invested in this eved. He's going to lose as a penalty because of what he did. So this particular group of avodim that was sold off to a non-Jew, kalu malvase basroi. The problem was that the solution was that the non-Jewish masters died. So now these avodim were kind of walking around, but the problem was they were technically still avodim because they had belonged to the Yisraelim beforehand. And the problem is that if a person is an eved, so halachdi is an eved, even though he may not have to work for anybody anymore, but he requires a kishtashichur. He has to have a get in a sense written to him. Otherwise, he won't be able to join Klai to marry a Jewish girl. So also the Kami de Ravina. So they came in front of Ravina and asked him what to do. Amalu, he said to them, Zilu Ahadra of Neir Vasa Kamoi. He said, go back to the original masters. And the original masters weren't even alive anymore. Years later, he said, go back to the original masters' children. And insist from them, go take the master's kids with him, or insist that they write you a shtar shichur. So now we had a situation, it was a strange situation, because these avadim didn't really belong to the heirs anymore. They were sold already. So there was no real kibin mamon to these children. And now Ravina is insisting that these yorishim write a shtar shichur on something that they never really were yorish in the first place. So this touches on the sugya that we left off with last week. How are you going to do that exactly? So only Rabban Ravina. So the Rabban asked Ravina at the time, Rabban Meimer told us, Mafka Abdul Meis. So the person declares that his Eved is Hefker, and then the master dies, also Eved in Tekona. This Eved is now in a pickle, because the Eved requires the Shtar Shichur. Who's going to write the Shtar Shichur now? The master's dead. He's not writing any more Shtar Shichurs. So the children weren't Yorish, because there's no Yerusha on something that's not Dina Mamanus. So this Eved ended up in a limbo. He ended up in a twilight zone. He requires the shtar shichur and can't get the shtar shichur from anybody. So that's what the Rabbanim said to Ameimar. These Avadim are also in that same pickle, because once they were sold off, so the Kinyan Mammon is gone. Now there's this Kinyan Isser, this requirement of the writing shtar shichur that's floating around, that's potentially going to the children. How does it go to the children? There's no Yerusha on that. So Amalu, Ravina said, I know that. I heard that, he says. Anak Rav Dimi Shvili. I hold like Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi, as we went last week, disagreed with Ameimar. Rav Dimi said that it's going to work. We disproved Rav Dimi. We said Rav Dimi was a mistake, what Rav Dimi said. So Amalu, no, he said, the mistake that Rav Dimi made was, he talked about a case where a fellow said that his Eved, or his Shivcha, he theoretically wants to free him. Did it really free him? Did it really mafka him? He said some kind of a very, very powerful lashon, so we weren't quite sure what he said. But if you would have really truly given a lashon shichur, the halach would be that his kinyan mamon was gone, and now the kinyan nisr goes to the yarshim, and the yarshim would free him. Looks like Ravina. That is in fact the final halacha, like Ravina, that this eved did not get stuck in this limbo, and all these avadim did have a chance out, and in fact the children of the original masters were forced to write their shtar shichur. Like what tells another a strange story about
shichur. What happened if there's no children?
Well, they got to go to somebody. They go to the some Jewish. So it goes to father, to brother, to cousin. They go to.
And if they aren't.
It has to be. It's impossible for a boy, unless the person's a ger. It's impossible for any regular born Jew not to have a Yorish. You just have to look far enough, all the way back to Yaakov Avinu. Everyone's got a cousin. Everyone's got somebody. If he has a father, then the father had a father. Father had a father. Someone had a father, all the way back to Yaakov. So how of the four lives at the bottom, how of the betray? There was an Eved Kenani that belonged to two people, and one of them decided to free his half. And that's not a very good setup. That's actually a Mishnah coming up with Nachman Aleph. When you have a person who's a half Eved and a half Ben Chorin, it's probably the worst position to be in. Because in terms of monetary issues, it's not so complicated. He works half the week for himself and half the week for his master. But in terms of who's he going to marry, that's what the Mishnah comments and not the Malif, that who's he going to marry? He's going to marry a Shifcha. He's a half free person. Free person not allowed to marry a Shifcha. He's going to marry a Bas Chor, a regular Jewish girl. He's a half Eved. Never's not allowed to marry a regular Jewish girl. So he can't get married. That's the Mishnah. You can't have such a thing. That's what the Taroim instituted, that you can't have a situation where a guy has no options for Shidduch, but he's not going to get married, not going to have any children. It's impossible. So therefore, the Taroim instituted that we're going to force the master to free the other half. So whenever we can't be in that limbo of half and half, we're going to force the master to make him until fully free. It's interesting. The Mishnah tells us later on that the Shaman were the ones who thought of that idea. They still didn't really agree with that idea yet. And then eventually Beis Hillel sided with the Shammai. One of the examples, the Beis Hillel next day, they backed out from their opinion and they sided with the Shammai. That's the halacha. So over here, this Eved who ended up in this no man's land of half free and half slave. So we realized right away that this is what we have to do. So Amar Idach, so the other master, the half master now, also realized what's going to happen. He realized that as soon as the Rabbanim get wind of this, he's going to lose his Eved. So he came up with this great idea. Oh, he thought it was a great idea. Hashda Shami Bi Rabbanim. He said, the minute that the rabbis are going to hear about this, they're going to make me lose my Eved. So what did he do? He tried to outsmart us. Also, he sold his half to his young child. So now, his young child's kid under bar mitzvah. So now the kid under bar mitzvah doesn't have the ability to free an Eved. So he figured he's going to stall because he's 5 years old. He's going to stall for a few years until the kid turns bar mitzvah, so they'll start shepherding the kid. But meanwhile, I'll have an Eved for a couple of years. So Shalcha Rav Yosef read the Rabba, command Rav Papa. So Rav Yosef, the son of Rabba, sent this question to Rav Papa. So Rav Papa was one of the Tamidim, the main Tamidim of Tamidim of Rabba. So Rav Yosef, the son of Rabba, said Rav Papa, what are we doing with this guy? This guy just tried to outsmart us. The halacha is, this Eved is in a real pickle. He's in a real jam. He can't get married. We don't want to have a situation where there's a fellow out there who cannot get married. So what are we going to do? But he just outsmarted us. So Shalach Lei, so Rav Papa sent back to Rav Yosef, Kasher Asar Kenya Asar Lo, Kvulo Yeshiv Lo Barosho. He said, a little quote of a pasuk. Said, what he tried to do is going to end up coming back to him. In other words, we're going to outsmart him. We have something up our sleeve that he doesn't know about. What are we going to do? Anan Kimlan Biyanuka, the Mikro Vadaita Lagabizuze. We know that little kids like money. They like jingling coins. So we're gonna get a sack of coins together. We're gonna pull the following stunt on him. We'll come in on the apotropos. We're gonna appoint an apotropos. We're gonna appoint a court guardian for this little boy who now is the owner of half an Eved. But we're gonna go to the guardian. And we're gonna go to the kid. And we're gonna give the kid a little bag of coins and say, "Listen, we got a treat for you." Because we're like, and then we're going to get him to write Eshtah Shichur. So this one is very, very unclear. Who is writing Eshtah Shichur exactly? Is it the Katan? That's very bizarre. How could a Katan write Eshtah Shichur? He can't. My son's a bar mitzvah. So it must be the apotropos is writing. The guardian has the authority to write Eshtah Shichur. That's the simple pshat in the Gemara. So why are we giving coins to the kid? So the answer is we're giving coins to the kid to quiet, to get down. He shouldn't come make a stink. Shouldn't come and scream and yell, "The rabbi stole my Eved. The rabbi stole my Eved." We're going to make him happy. You have an Eved. We're going to give you a lot of money. You can buy a lot of candy. So the kid will be happy. The apotropos will write the shtar. And the only one who's going to be fuming is the person who tried to pull off the stunt, which he's deserving to be fuming because he tried to cheat the Eved. So we're going to help the Eved. We're going to go out on a limb. We're going to turn the world upside down to help the Eved because it's not right. You can't have a person who can't get married. It's not an option in our world. I don't know about it. Now the Gemara continues.
But we have a case in Sukkot that you're not supposed to give a kid a lulav and esrog because he can't be chose thing.
Right.
So if the apotropos has the right to release an eved, a father has the same right as the apotropos to take back the lulav and esrog.
Not so simple. That koach of apotropos is a very, very loaded question. Not so simple that the father has that koach. Once the father gives a gift to the child, that's a different story. Apotropos is when you have a situation where there's nobody taking care of this child. So Beis Din has to step in. There's the koach of Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. And Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker doesn't necessarily work all the time for just because the father wants to give a gift to his lulav to his kid. That's so simple. It's not clear exactly what the apotropos does for him. It's a little bit later on. That's the Beis Din, Hefker, and how apotropos fits into the picture. It's probably not going to work there. So talking about the work on the price at the top of Memor Beis, the second line, talking about the Omer Asisi Ploni Abdi Ben Chorin, Osri Ben Chorin, Hareo Ben Chorin. The person has the following lashonos, different kinds of language that he used to say that he's freeing his Eved. So he writes, I made him free, he is free, he's going to be free, Hareo Ben Chorin. All these different nuances, Hareo Ben Chorin, these are all valid lashonos. But what if I say as follows, Eseru Ben Chorin? He says to an Eved, he writes to an Eved, we'll see, that I'm going to make you free. In 20 years from now, I'm going to make you free. Is that a lashon of a shechur? So Rebbe Yamakon, Rebbe says, yeah, that's what it means. That's good enough. The Torah says, a chushal, you have to have a lashon of shechur in there. As long as he said the basic word ben chorin, even though his grammar wasn't so perfect, that's okay. The chum said, no, that's no good. It's a promise that he's going to, we'll ask him to keep his promise. But in terms of, did he actually free the Eved? That's not a lashon. When he speaks about doing something in the future, he doesn't declare that the Eved is actually free now. That's not a proper lashon shechur. Rabbi Yochanan just qualifies this whole discussion and says that obviously this is all in a document. It's not just words. A guy could say the best words in the world, but if he doesn't put it into paper, so that's not the chosla sipik resus. So the Tashra explains to us that the shikhr has to be a shtar shikhr, not just words alone. So tell her about it. Now the Gemara continues on with other nuances of statements that are written or said concerning shikhr. Tell her about it. Ha'omen astatisa deplonis deploni. So if a person makes a statement that I've given this field to somebody, so he's basically doing what's called a shtar matana, a way of transferring ownership in a shtar. One of the ways that shtar, on character, one of the ways that land, that real estate is sold or is given as a gift is to a shtar, the mechanism of a document as well. Those are psukim in the Navi Yirmiyo. It was the Haftorah that we didn't read this week. It was the Haftorah for Bahar. Bahar would have been separate from Kukosai, and we would have read it. It's the description of when Yirmiyo and Navi is told by Kadosh Baruch Hu to go buy fields outside of Shev Binyamin, outside of the city of Anosos, right before the Chorban. It's a very, very powerful Haftorah. It's read only every couple of years, so it's not a leap year, but it's a very, very powerful Haftorah. It describes that Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyo to go buy fields. And the Navi goes through all the intricacies of the buying and selling and the writing and the paying and the documents and the aid and the whole story. And then at the end of the Nevuah, so Yirmiyo turns to Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, why am I buying this field for? It's the worst real estate investment in the world. So the Babylonians are about to conquer the city. The Jews are going to go. So why the world am I buying land in the outside of Yerushalayim for? So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry, it's a very, very good investment. So you'll see in a few years from now, the Jews are going to come back. So it's a good, I think we probably, draw some modern parallels. It's a good to invest. Invest there, it's a good, you'll see. It's a good thing to do. Don't be discouraged. So the Gemara continues, it says that if a person goes ahead and he makes the statement that he gave a gift to his, of this field, the Ploni, or the Sunil Ploni, Harishala, or he said that this field is given to him, or he said this field belongs to him, any of those Lashonos, Harishala, those are all good Lashonos of Matana. At the net of the Ploni, again, similar parallel to what we said before, he doesn't declare that the field actually belongs to Ploni. He says, I'm going to give it to Ploni. I'm going to give it to him next year. I'm going to give him a present. So Rameir said, that's also good enough. And the Chabim say, no, that's not good enough. It's the same question. When I use a language that's not indicative that something is happening now, but some degree of the future, do we say that that's probably what I meant, to actually give it to him now? Or do I say, no, that's not really a lashon of a matana? Rabbi Yochanan qualifies this b'raisa as well, same as we said before, that all of this is talking about in a document. It's not just words. I say to you a whole speech, I'm giving you a piece of land, that doesn't mean anything. It has to be put into writing. We have another b'raisa. Omer asisi ploni avdi ben chorin. When a person comes to the basin and he says that I made my Eved a Ben Chorin, so I'm giving an admission in court, we can't seem to find the document, I'm making an admission that Haldah, that I did free my Eved. Who Omer lo asari, and the Eved's denying it. So here it's a strange thing. Here the other is saying, you're not my Eved anymore. The other saying, yes, I am. He said, you didn't free me. So what do we do? Chashir and Shemazir lo de'achir. So we are going to assume that he probably did free him, and the Eved doesn't even know that he was free. How could an Eved not know that he was free? And the answer is that you give the shtar shichur to somebody else on behalf of the Eved. Actually, there's one opinion that you have to do it that way. When I free an Eved, can I even give him the shichur himself? Some one time it says, you can't give it to him. Mashikon Eved Kodarabo, whatever he owns belongs back to you again. So you didn't really give it to him. According to one opinion, the only way to free Rebbe Kanaan is to give the Shtashuchah to somebody else in his behalf. And the other time, where we pass this, you give it to the Eved also. At the same moment that he gets the document, he gets his freedom. The same moment he gets his freedom, he gets the document. It all happens simultaneously. But everybody agrees that it's possible to free the Eved without the Eved even knowing about it. So that's probably what happened over here. When the Adam said, I freed him, and the Eved says, no, you didn't. They're both, in a sense, telling the truth. The Eved said, I don't know that you freed me. What if the Adam says that I wrote a document and I gave it to him? So here, there's no way to confuse. Here, I'm saying it explicitly. I gave him the document. And the Eved is saying that, no, he didn't. That he didn't give it to me. So then the Eved is making a hodos baldin. He's making a confession in court that he's not free. So if I walk the maze and I say, I broke your window. I walk the maze and I say, I borrowed $1,000 from you. So the maze is going to listen to what I say. So the Eved is saying, I'm insisting that I still have to work for this guy. Okay, you want to work for the guy? So did you work for the guy? Hodos baldin made him.
Hodos baldin, the baldin could be the...
Right, so that's the question. The question is, why is he the baldin and not the other fellow? Why is the other considered to be the baldin? That's a tricky question. Why do we view it as from the vantage point? So the starting point was the Eved belonged to the other. So we always have like contradictory hodos baldins over here. So we just basically... They negate each other, and now we're stuck to where we were. So the guy remains an Eved at the Pasuk Shem. Ha'omer, now we have a parallel halacha when it comes to the fields. Ha'omer, asati son of Plotis the Ploti. I walk at the base and I say, I gave this land, this piece of this field to somebody. Bloman, Reuben says, lo nasam. Reuben says, I never got it. So Chashin and Shem Zichon, what probably happened was that I did give the land, but I didn't hand it directly to Reuben. I gave it to somebody else to be Zohar. Yeah, we can do that. We can make a kinyan for somebody without the other person knowing it. We do that. We do it all the time. So my chaser, just ate in the ksuba yesterday. So that's what we do. That we make a kinyan on behalf of the kala. The chaser is b'shabbat himself to pay all the money to the kala. So we make a kinyan on behalf of the kala. The kala's not there. She's sitting in the kala's room, whatever. She's sitting in the shmokes spot. And we're sitting by the chaser's fish. And I take off my amulet and I hand it to the chassid. I'm representing the chassid. I don't even know what I'm doing. That's okay. That's all. That's so fun if I can do that by heart. So to over here, that we assume that's probably what happened. But what if the owner of the field says, kasavs and asati lo? I don't say that I gave in theory land. I say I gave it to him. I handed him the document. And the other fellow says that, no, it's not true. He didn't give it to me. So now the Gemara has a tricky question. You have these funny questions. This is really throwback to what Henry's question was. So at this point, we're not really sure actually who owns this field. We do have a certain sense it's like contradictory of those baldins. So who gets the fruit during this interim period? So we're trying to figure out what's going on. So if Chizda said, the Nosen gets it, the original owner of the field. So he gets to keep the fruit. For Rabbi Mishal Shinat Zepeiros, Rabbi says we put the fruit in escrow, put it aside, sell it, put the money away in someone's account, and we try to figure out what to do with that money. For Pluya Haba Abba Haba Bra, the Gemara says that it depends that if the supposed receiver of this gift is alive and he's yelling and screaming, I didn't get it. It's not my field. It's not my field. We're not going to put fruit into the escrow account. He's yelling and screaming that he didn't get the field. So he didn't get the field. So the original owner gets to keep the fruit. But what if the person, supposed recipient of the gift, dies and now this child comes and says that my father didn't get that field. So now we are not sure that the kid knows what he's talking about. We're going to do the kid a favor. We're going to say, listen, you know, it's true that your father never told you about that you were the now proud owner of this $1 million piece of property. Could be he just got to tell you. Could be he didn't mention it to you. But it's possible. So since we're not 100% sure what to do now, we'll put the money in the escrow. We'll put the fruit in the escrow. We'll figure out, hopefully some point in the near future, we'll figure out what to do with this. So the bottom line is that if a person literally denies with absolute conviction, and he should have known, and he still denied that he ever got the fruit, he ever got the field, we're not going to give him any fruit. He's saying it's not his. So now the Mishnah continues with a new dimension of Sugis of Avadim. Evid Shaso Rabo Apotiki Le'acherim. So a person borrows X amount of money from somebody, and he puts up his Evid Kenani in a sense, as a quasi, like a collateral. But the word apotiki, so the Gemara says that the word apotiki is like a play on three Hebrew words. Apo, tehei, koi, that po is here, tehei should be standing. But this item should be standing in place for this debt. The Gemara does this sometimes, and it takes a word that, I'm not such an expert in ancient languages, but apotiki sounds like a very Greek word to me. So Chazal sometimes will take these words and say that even within the Greek language, it's a little bit of a remnant. Like the word prusbul. Prusbul also doesn't sound like a Hebrew word, but the Gemara will also say that prusbul is even the word Sanhedrin is not a Hebrew word. It doesn't appear in Tanakh anymore. It's also I think a Sanhedrin or something, is like a council in Greek. So you have a lot of these words that they just don't sound like ours, but they've become so incorporated into halachic literature. So the Mishnah speaks about an apotiki. So an eved was made by his master as an apotiki lecherim b'shicharo, and then he was freed. Now freeing him is great for the eved, not so great for the person who thought he's going to get this as the mortgage. He thought he was going to get this eved in place of his money. So he was freed. The only problem is it's very unclear for the Mishnah who freed him. Does that mean that the original master freed him? Does it mean that the fellow who was written to him, who has a lien on this Evan, freed him? Very unclear. So sure as I did. So the Mishnah continues that the Igra did Eina Evan Chayv Klum, that the real basic halach is that the Evan doesn't have to do anything at that point. Ella, so what does it mean he doesn't do anything? It sounds like he just goes free. Ella may take it to Ella, but Chazal instituted to make the world run a little smoother. That's why this Mishnah is here, because the Mishnah is here talking about the different kinds of Tikkun Olam, different halachas, primarily the Imamunis, that Chazal instituted just to improve society a little bit. Rambam writes that the Beis Din, every generation has an obligation, not just to make the corners to protect quote unquote religion, but they have the obligation to protect society as well. The Rambam divides up and says that many of the Takkanos of Beis Din are in the realm of religion, the Gezeiros and Siyagim, to protect the religious ritual part of the Jewish life. And then the Beis Din also is required to make things by Yishuv Olam and Tikkun Olam to make sure that society just functions smoothly. So here the Mishnah tells us that Chazal made a Takkanah that what we do is as follows. Kofin is Rabbo, we now force the master, but also so ben Chorin. We make the master free him, the Kosev Shtar al Namam, and then this Eved has to reimburse the master for what his value was. So this Mishnah, just in case you're not sure what the Mishnah means, don't feel bad. The Amorim also weren't quite sure what the Mishnah means. It is very unclear. There are a lot of ambiguous pronouns here. We are not sure who exactly freed him in the first place, and we're not exactly sure who we are forcing in the second place. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, whatever the first Tana said is wrong. What really happens is Meshachrer. Who is the Meshacher? Meshacher means the one who freed him, but we're still not sure what the first or the second. So this Mishnah is written in very, very cryptic language. So the Gemara is going to work very, very hard to figure out what in the world, who's on first, who is freeing him, who is Meshacher, who is getting paid, who is getting reimbursed, who is losing money here. The whole Mishnah from beginning to end is very, very unclear. So the Gemara begins. That's the first most important question, is who is freeing this Evan in the first place? So Amarav. The Rav says, Rabbo Rishon. It means the original master. Now, that's already very, very tricky because at first glance, the original master doesn't even have the authority to free him anymore. Because what happened is as follows. If I borrow $1,000 from you and I put up something as a very, very powerful collateral, it's an apotiki, which is the highest degree of collateral, that who says that I have a right to go ahead and sell it off to somebody else? It's very nice. I bought a house, I borrow X amount of money from the bank, and my house is mortgaged, and then I go ahead and I sell off the house to somebody else. I say to the bank, you buy this bank. You still own the bank. So you have to figure out a way to reimburse the bank for the money that you borrowed. So the bank's going to come after your house. So comes the one says, wait a second, what do you mean that the first master freed him? Once you put him up already as a collateral, you put him up as a potiki. So who says that shikhar even takes effect? Who says that shikhar is even binding if he's not the owner anymore? So comes the Gemara and says that no, sure as I did, the ikar mikar I did, the din in the Torah is ein eved chayav klum l'rabbo sheni, that the second master, I'm sorry, the eved doesn't have any responsibility to the second master, being the person who lent the money. He has to walk around this piece of paper saying, I got a mortgage, I got to lean against this eved. So we say to him in that Torah, don't jump in the lake. The shichur overrides your lead. How does that happen exactly? If the Eved is Meshubah, then the Eved is already in a sense, acquired to a certain degree to the second master, to the person who lent me the money. So how can I go ahead and be mafkia then? How can I go ahead and unravel, undo his shibud mamon? So comes the Gemara and says, Kidder Rav, yeah, that works. The Amar Rav gave us three examples where even though something is meshubah to somebody else, we could circumvent that shibud. We could override that shibud. What are the three things in halacha that can override a shibud? The Amar Rav, Hekdesh Chometz Teshichur, Mafkia Midei Shibud. The famous statement of Rav appears in a few places in Shas. That three different examples that are so powerful, they can basically tell the who thought that he had a lead on to basically go jump in the lake. What are those three things? One of them being hektish. So a person sets aside an animal to be paid back to pay off a loan. So this animal, we think that the animal belongs to the Baal, but in a sense that the animal has been designated to pay back the loan to the person who lent me the money. And I decide to be machtish just to the base of hektish. So says the Gemara, hektish is so powerful. The hektish overrides that lien, and now the person basically just lost it out. I still owe him the money. Don't think I'm going to get off not paying the money. Of course, I'm going to have to reimburse him for his money. But when he thought that he had locked in this animal, that was very nice. But the basically just supersedes his claim. Or chometz, that's a sugi in the second bank of Sachim, that if I have a relationship with a non-Jew, the non-Jew lends me money, and I set aside the chometz to be paid off eventually at some point for the loan, and then pay chometz. The chometz is also bano, so that chometz has to be disposed of. So the non-Jew is claiming, what do you mean? It's my chometz. It's not really your chometz. It's my chometz, the Jew's chometz. It's just that there's a lien on it, but that lien is now going to be overridden by chometz. And b'shichur. And the third on the list of Rav's cases, which has the ability to override a shibud, is shichur as well. So all these things are about kibud de shibud. So therefore, me'ikar adin, that what happened was really meaningless. That when just because in theory there's this loan, and there's the shibud, and there's this collateral, it's all cute, it's all the past. But once the shichur comes, so the game is over. So once the shichur comes, the evidence should be able to say, see, I'm free, goodbye. So that's what the Mishnah says, that should be the din, but that's not the greatest idea. There are some very, very real concerns with that scenario playing out. And therefore, Chazal instituted that they changed the rules a little bit.
If a person, Chamani, has chametz, and he takes a loan, and out comes Pesach, can be mafkias chametz if it's meshubah to the bank or to lenders for a collateral?
Well, the problem is that lechem is about to become chametz of a Pesach very soon. Belongs to the Jew.
But I mean, this is a real actual situation. People borrow money against their assets. They get lines of credit. Mm-hmm. So stores get lines of credit. Right. All their assets are a thing. So are you allowed to be mafker? So one of the things is you can be mocher or you can be mafker. So hefker, being mafker, before Pesach doesn't work if it's meshubah to someone else.
Yeah, the mice don't really mafker. I mean, it's more of a Pesach question. It's going to get if nothing happened, the chametz is going to usher. If the person may still have the koach to possibly sell it, or again, it's tricky. I feel bad for you. Sometimes you know, next Pesach.